Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of our visitors with us today. Dylan's family, welcome. We're glad you're here. And we understand if you're feeling a bit of trepidation. If you've never been to a CEC church service before, it's really never like this. Actually, it's always like this. So, lots of stuff going on. They even got a sword on the wall. What's that about? So, don't worry. Everything will be okay. Keep calm. This is the part where we have a sermon, and after only 3 or 4 hours, we'll get to the back. I'm not that long-winded. I don't know that many words. So, if you'd like to try and follow along, although it's always difficult for me, you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, around verse 25, which is the gospel that you just heard the deacon read. So, and as you see, what's going on here is that Jesus has just finished instructing his 12 disciples, and he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. Okay? And so this thing that you just heard here is one of the things that Jesus is teaching along the way. And there was a really important scripture in there. Actually, there are several in this passage, of course. But one that just really stood out to me, I'm going to read to you here in just a second. So once again, verse 25, chapter 11 of Matthew. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Now listen to this. All things have been committed to me by my Father. That's the thing that jumped out to me this time when I read that. You know, and it happens when you read Scripture. One time this will jump out to you, another time this will jump out to you. But this one, this is a momentous comment that he makes. This is an incredible thing that he says here. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. And as Jack said, sweet forgiveness, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not because we're some special something or other. It's just because Jesus has forgiven us. Amen. And that's what this is about. That's what we're talking about here. How can He do that? How can Jesus do this? What authority do you have to do this, to forgive sins, it says somewhere? Well, he says it right there. All things have been committed to me by my Father. All things committed to Him. That means given to Him, given up to Him, delivered up to Jesus. Okay? The Greek root word here takes on several meanings. It says it's like being delivered into the hands of their enemies. It's like being delivered over to the magistrates, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge. You've heard that one before, one of Jesus' parables. And this one, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. This is the meaning of this Greek root word, committed, in this case, it says. In other words, in other places, he's saying that the meaning here is of being turned over to Jesus for His will and judgment, however He sees fit. That's the authority that we're talking about. But this Greek root word that we translate here in the NIV as committed also carries another meaning, a meaning of being entrusted to, okay? It's like the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. It's the same Greek word used in that, okay? And from Luke, you know, just as they were handed down to us by those from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, handed down to. In other words, this word, this idea of committed, means that it conveys a meaning of entrusting great wealth or treasure to someone's care. Suppose you're a parent of little children and you decide you'd like to make a will because suppose, you know, and this is no fun to talk about or think about, but suppose you die. Who's going to take care of your children? Well, in your will, you can appoint a guardian, somebody that you trust who can raise that child for you. And in doing so, you are entrusting them to the care of someone that you trust, that you know. And so this is what was given to Jesus. This is the authority, the responsibility, the trust that is given by the Father to Jesus. And what is he giving, basically? Well, it says right there, all things. Well, what are all things? Well, all things. That's what it is. Okay, everything, all of us, God the Father has given us over to Jesus for him to deal with. That means all people, believers, non-believers. Okay, everything that involves humankind, our history, our human sins, our failures, our successes, all the churches, all the religions, everything that involves humans is handed over to Jesus for him to deal with. That's what all things are. And you know, since we're talking about all things, then surely includes all things in heaven as well, like angels and demons and Satan and hell and all the other things we don't even have any concept of. It's all in his hands. Well, that sounds like a pretty big statement. Well, you don't believe me? Go to Matthew chapter 28. It says, then Jesus told them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. If you don't believe that, then go to John chapter 3. It says, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. If you don't believe that, go to John chapter 5. For just as the Father raised the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleases to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. He has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man, meaning he is one of us, a human. Jesus has full authority, okay? Jesus will judge all things. Jesus has full authority over everything. And this is why no one gets to God except through Jesus Christ. And this is where the sweet forgiveness is found. You know how in a corporation, maybe in a corporation, or say the military or something like that, a person has a superior, right? And if that superior doesn't respond to a request that your person has or your petition the way the person wants him to, they might try and go over their head, okay? You know, say we're talking about like a captain talks to his colonel about something and the colonel doesn't respond. The captain can risk going to the general with his request, okay? He might get reprimanded himself for doing that, but he can try to go to the general. That can't happen here. Okay? There is Jesus and no one else. There is no going over his head. Put another way, there is no other way to God than through Jesus Christ. And that is absolute in Christianity. Anyone who preaches another message is not Christian. They're a false prophet and they're wrong. And that's why this baptism idea, this whole thing, this reason that we're coming here today, is so essential. Jesus was baptized himself to show us how important it is for us to do this as well. And to show us what would happen when we're baptized. In Luke chapter 3, there's a good account of it. It says, when all people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. That's what happens when we're baptized. Now you may not see the dove, but you may. If you do, please let us know. That's what happens when a person enters into a personal relationship with Jesus, making him Lord and Savior. When they become baptized, the Holy Spirit descends upon them and descended upon all of you who are baptized. And God the Father is very pleased. Because there is no other entry into heaven. As I just showed you, this is it. Now, the world will try to tell you differently, okay? That you can come to God in your own way, that you can do it by studying crystals or by meditating towards nirvana or by doing the prescribed things required of you for your steps into heaven or by coming from the right family line in some cases or being the right ethnicity, another way to put that. Or that you can make up your own way to God, you know, because it doesn't really matter because it doesn't really exist. So why try? But God does exist. And the reality of the existence is that there is no other way into heaven for humans. Not just for believers or Christians, for humans. We're into a relationship with God the Father other than Jesus Christ. There is no way. And according to the scriptures that I just read to you and explained to you here in Matthew chapter 11, that means that all people, all believers, all non-believers, Christians, Buddhists, Muslims, Shintos, Taoists, pagans, Wiccans, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and it goes on and on and on, whatever your religion or your beliefs, Jesus is the final judge. And we are all subject to his plan. It doesn't matter if you believe or not. It's reality. I know, it's pretty heavy, but it'll get lighter in a minute. We're going to pour water on his head. Oh, no. Sorry. Okay. Sometimes I try and tell a joke, you know, to lighten the mood, you know, but it mostly just helps me feel better. Okay. The big difference is, and this is a hard saying of Jesus, okay? What matters is that those who don't believe or choose not to believe will not go to heaven or everlasting life. It's a hard saying. I didn't make it up. Not me. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, he said, "I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Who's he talking about there? Is he talking about Satan? No. Jesus has all authority. That's the one to fear. But not in a bad way. In a good way. Because he is easy and his yoke is easy and his burden and his light. And he asks all to come to him. If you heard further in that scripture, it said there, "Come to me all you who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest." It doesn't say some of you who are weary and burdened. It says all of you. All of you are welcome. And that's the good news. All things have been committed to Jesus by his Father. All things. And this is the reason that we baptize people. This is the reason that we're so excited about doing baptisms. This is a good reason to share the gospel with people. That thing called the good news. Evangelism. That's what it means. Good news. And it is very good news. But you don't have to go to hell. That you'll not be judged and thrown into eternal torment and torture. It's good news that God put all things in Jesus' hands, a human just like us, and that Jesus made a way for us to come into a relationship that ought to be impossible. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And we need to share that message. There is no better news, okay? So, you remember when they announced that in the elections that Trump had won the presidency and you couldn't wait to share it with your friends? Oh, sorry, bad example. Okay, sorry, bad example. How about you married couples, you know, when you first find out that you're going to have a baby, okay? You can't wait to share it with everyone. Yay! I'm going to be a father! Or perhaps when you are dating someone, you fall head over heels in love. You can't wait to tell people about it. Those are better examples? Okay. You know what? This is better news than that. Better news than any of it. So you should be sharing it. you know, for a few years after we, the church, moved into this building, we heard that it was time of preparation, time for growing in ourselves, that in the future, a time of time we're supposed to go out. In the last few months, we've been hearing from God that that time is coming, you know, it's about time, and now it is time to go out. Time for you to go out and share the good news. I know you're already doing this, but it's time to do it in a new and heightened level. Okay? It's time to be intentional about talking to people about Jesus. You can take a friend with you and you can go to the mall, sit at the food court and ask God to open a door. You can offer to pray for someone you know is having a hard time. You can keep your ears open for a possible venue or a time where the church could come and play music or do a special service or a drama or something. Now is the time for you to ask the Holy Spirit to open your ears to these opportunities. And you can invite people to come to church. These things that I just mentioned are your responsibilities. You have been told by God to do this. Dylan's going to be baptized today. Today, Dylan will publicly admit that he believes in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He will tell us that he commits his life to Jesus Christ, making Jesus his Savior and his Lord, and that he will obey what God tells him to do. He is going to enter the kingdom of God, and he'll receive eternal life, entrance into heaven. And the Holy Spirit will come into his heart and be with him forever. Hallelujah. I know many people have had a hand in getting him to this place. Jackie, Ethan, Chase, I'm sure all had a part in this. The most important decision of his life, actually. And there are many other people out there who need to be in here waiting to be baptized, like Dylan is right now. The only way they're going to get here is if you talk to them. If you intentionally set out to tell people about Jesus. And that you act differently than the rest of the world. And show them that you're special, that you care. And they might even trust you enough to listen. You got to get their trust first, and that's by caring. Now's the time to go out. Talk to someone this week about Jesus. I don't care who it is. Talk to someone about Jesus this week. Now, it may not go anywhere, but it may. It may plant a seed, and they may come back to you one day and ask you some more questions. Talk to someone about Jesus this week. All things have been committed to him by his Father, either to be handed over to him for judgment or to be entrusted to him like an adopted child. Amen.